Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are diving deep into something that's, well, it's everywhere, but we almost never really think about it. Sound.
Right. It's completely fundamental to how we experience the world.
It is. But the actual physics behind, you know, a song you love or a conversation or even just the hum from your computer, it's mostly a mystery to us. We just take it for granted.
We do. And what's so fascinating and what we'll get into is that sound is this amazing paradox. It's a purely physical thing, a wave, but our experience of it is completely subjective.
And the author we're focusing on, Mike Goldsmith, he really uses sound to connect everything.
He does. It's the thread that ties together physics, biology, technology, even art. We're going to follow that thread from, say, a tiny atomic vibration all the way up to how whales talk to each other across an entire ocean. So our mission for you today is pretty simple. We want to give you a shortcut to really understanding the world of acoustics. And by the end, every single sound you hear is going to feel a little different, a little more visible.
You'll be hearing the science. To guide us, we're leaning on Mike Goldsmith's work. And he is, I have to say, an exceptionally qualified guide for this journey.
So what makes him the right person? I mean, lots of physicists write popular science books. What's special about his perspective?
Well, that's the key thing. He has a PhD in astrophysics, so he gets the deep fundamental wave mechanics. But, and this is the important part, he also spent years as the head of acoustics at the UK's National Physical Laboratory, the NPL.
Oh, wow. So he wasn't just in a university lab. The NPL is all about measurement, standardization.
Yeah.
The real world.
Exactly. His job wasn't just theory. It was the practical stuff, like calibrating sensitive instruments and setting standards for noise pollution. He was at the sharp end of acoustics.
So he has both sides, the deep theory and the hands-on practice.
And that's his gift. He's written, I think, over 40 science books. So he knows how to make complex ideas clear. He can strip away all the dense jargon, but, you know, without losing any of the scientific accuracy, it makes it all feel very approachable.
That's so important because the book's main idea is actually pretty complex. It's that sound isn't just a wave hitting your ear. It's something your brain is actively building, a psychological construction.
Mm-hmm. And the book takes you on this journey that honestly requires zero prior knowledge. It starts at the very beginning. What is a wave? Why does it need a medium? What are frequency and amplitude?
So you build that physics foundation first. And where does he go?
From there, he jumps straight into biology, into psychoacoustics, which is the incredible process of hearing how that physical wave becomes, well, your subjective reality.
And once we get the wave in the ear, he pivots to how we humans have, you know, tried to control sound.
Right. Everything from the mathematics of music and harmony to how the human voice actually works.
And then it expands out even further.
It does. To technology, like the difference between old analog records and modern digital streaming. And then out into the environment with things like the Doppler effect, sonic booms, and even the sounds we can't hear.
Ultrasound and infrasound.
Exactly. It shows you that these same acoustic principles are at play everywhere, tying all these different fields together.
Okay, so let's start right at the beginning. What is sound? Fundamentally, it's a mechanical wave, a vibration traveling through a medium, right?
That's it. And the key word there is medium. Goldsmith really hammers this point home. Sound needs particles to push against each other. It cannot travel in a vacuum.
Which means all those giant explosions in sci-fi movies.
Pure Hollywood, total fiction just for the drama. In the silence of space, an explosion would be completely silent. Now, if you were inside the ship, you'd hear it through the metal, but outside, nothing.
Got it. The medium is everything. So this vibration creates high pressure zones and low pressure zones.
Right. He calls them compressions and rarefactions. Think of a slinky. If you push one end, a wave of compressed coils travels down it. That's the energy moving, not the slinky itself flying across the room.
And that energy moves at different speeds.
Oh, dramatically different. It's way faster in water and even faster in something like steel. Just because the particles are closer together, the push gets passed along more quickly.
So let's connect that to what we actually experience. You have two main things. Frequency, which we hear as pitch.
Measured in hertz. Higher frequency, higher pitch.
And amplitude, which is the size of the wave. We hear that as loudness.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really interesting because the jump from just random noise to beautiful music is quite literally mathematics. Noise is a messy, irregular waveform. Music is all about regular, repeating patterns.
And this brings in Pythagoras thousands of years ago. He discovered that harmony, What sounds pleasing to us is all based on simple integer ratios.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? That beauty is built on math. A note and another note an octave higher have a frequency ratio of exactly 2 to 1. A perfect fifth, which is like the cornerstone of Western music, is 3 to 2.
It's incredible. But if the ratios are that simple, why did it take so long to develop the musical scales we use today?
Because those perfect simple ratios sound great, but they lock you into one key. To create music where you can seamlessly change keys, you have to cheat those ratios just a tiny little bit. You have to temper the scale. It's a trade-off.
A trade-off between mathematical purity and musical freedom.
You got it.
Okay, so the last piece of the puzzle for music is timbre, the texture of the sound.
Right. Timbre is why a flute and a trumpet playing the exact same note at the same volume still sound completely different.
And that's because of overtones, harmonics.
Exactly. When an instrument plays a note, you don't just hear that one fundamental frequency. You hear a whole cocktail of quieter, higher frequency waves on top of it. And that unique blend of harmonics is the instrument's acoustic fingerprint.
That complex mix of frequencies is a perfect bridge to the biology, because the ear is the thing that has to sort all that information out.
It is. The sound wave hits the eardrum, gets amplified by 3 tiny little bones, the ossicles.
The malleus, intus, and stapes, the hammer, anvil, and stirrup.
Yep. And that amplification is vital because they're about to send that vibration into the fluid-filled inner ear, the cochlea. Without that boost, most of the sound energy would just reflect off the fluid.
Okay, so the wave is now in the fluid of the cochlea. And this is where the magic happens, right? With the hair cells.
This is the moment of transduction. Inside the cochlea, you have thousands of these tiny hair cells, or stereocilia. Different sections of the cochlea are tuned to vibrate at different frequencies. When the fluid wave hits the right spot, the tiny hairs there bend.
And that bending creates the electrical signal.
That's it. The bending opens up channels, a chemical reaction happens, and zap, an electrical impulse goes to the brain. And here's the crucial thing. Those hair cells do not grow back. Once they're damaged by loud noise, they are gone for good.
Which makes you think about every loud concert you've ever been to.
It really does.
Okay, so from biology to technology, the book draws a really clear line between the old analog world and the new digital one.
Yeah, analog recording, like an old vinyl record, was literal. The groove on the record is a physical copy of the sound wave's shape. It's continuous.
But digital is different. It's an approximation. It's all numbers.
Right. It works in 2 steps. First is sampling. This means taking thousands of snapshots of the wave every second. For a CD, it's 44,100 snapshots per second.
And then the second step, which can feel a bit confusing, is quantization.
All that means is that for each of those snapshots, the computer has to assign it a numerical value, but it only has a limited number of possible values it can use. So it has to round off.
I see. So if the actual wave height is, say, 5.378, the system might have to call it 5.4.
Exactly. It forces the infinitely detailed, smooth analog wave into a series of steps. And that's why highly compressed digital audio, like an MP3, can sound less rich. You're literally throwing away tiny bits of information to save space.
That makes so much sense. Okay, shifting to sound in the environment, we have to talk about the Doppler effect.
The classic ambulance siren example.
Right. The pitch goes up as it comes towards you and then drops as it goes away.
It's pure physics. As the ambulance moves towards you, it's catching up to its own sound waves, squishing them together.
Higher frequency.
Higher pitch.
Yep. And as it moves away, it's stretching those waves out. Lower frequency, lower pitch. It's a beautiful everyday demonstration of wave physics.
And finally, let's touch on the sounds we can't hear. The invisible spectrum.
Right. Above our hearing range, so above 20,000 hertz, you have ultrasound. The waves are very short, which means you can focus them into tight beams.
Which is perfect for things like medical sonograms or sonar.
Or bat echolocation, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, below 20 hertz, you have infrasound. Long, powerful waves.
We can't hear it, but we can sometimes feel it, right? You can.
Right.
It's generated by huge events. Earthquakes, volcanoes. And big animals like elephants and whales actually use infrasound to communicate over enormous distances because those long waves travel for miles with very little energy loss.
It's amazing. All of this science comes together to create these big aha moments. Let's talk about some of the core themes.
Okay. I think theme number one has to be the subjectivity of perception. We think we're just passively hearing the world, but the brain is working incredibly hard.
We're not just a microphone recording what's out there.
Not at all. Your brain is constantly calculating the tiny microsecond-long delay between a sound hitting each ear to figure out where it's coming from. And think about the cocktail party effect, how you can tune out a whole room of noise to focus on one conversation.
Your brain is actively filtering reality.
It is. The physical wave is objective, but your experience of it is a construction.
Okay, theme number two, the universality of physics. This one is just fantastic.
It's this idea that the same basic math, the same wave equations, apply across unbelievable scales. The physics that explains how sound bounces around in a concert hall is related to the physics of gravitational waves from colliding black holes.
Wait, really? A concert hall and black holes?
At a fundamental mathematical level, yes. All waves, no matter what they are, add up and cancel out in similar ways. Understanding acoustics gives you this this intuition for much bigger concepts in physics.
And the third theme is something like technological mediation, how we're always trying to control sound.
We are constantly engineering our sonic world. From designing concert halls with perfect reverberation to creating the algorithms that compress an MP3 file, we're always shaping our auditory environment.
The book does such a great job of boiling all this down into these really powerful, memorable statements.
It really does. The first one is just so foundational. All sound, no matter how complex, begins as a simple vibration, a disturbance of particles in a medium.
It brings everything back to that one single unifying mechanism. A tap on a table and a Beethoven symphony start the same way.
The second one shifts our focus inward. What you hear is not the sound itself, but your brain's interpretation of it.
I love that. It reminds you that the real magic is happening inside your head. It's a biological process.
And the third one captures that idea of scale so perfectly. The physics of concert halls and galaxies follow the same wave equations. Scale changes everything and nothing. It's just so elegant.
So how can we apply all this knowledge in our daily lives? Let's make it practical.
Okay, first and most important, health. You have to understand the decibel scale. It's logarithmic, which means a 10 dB increase is actually a tenfold increase in sound intensity.
That's huge. So knowing that those little hair cells in your ear don't grow back.
It should make you wear earplugs at concerts. It should make you watch your headphone volume. That damage is cumulative and it's permanent.
And what about at home? Can we be sort of amateur acoustic designers?
Absolutely. If a room is really echoey, it just means it has a long reverberation time. The solution is absorption. You need soft things. Rugs, curtains, bookshelves full of books, couches. They all soak up the sound waves and stop them from bouncing around. It can make a space so much more peaceful.
And finally, it just makes you more literate about the technology around you.
It really demystifies it. You now get the basic physics of sonar. You understand what's happening when a file is compressed. You know why ultrasound is safe for medical use. It's empowering.
So as we wrap up, what's the one final thought or realization that really stuck with you?
For me, it's just the profound interconnectedness of it all, how this one thing, sound, moves from being pure physics to a mechanical process in the ear to a biological signal, and then finally to a psychological perception in the brain. It connects everything.
Yeah. And for me, it's just the transformation of how I listen. I'm not just a passive receiver of noise anymore. Every sound now has this hidden story inside it, the physics, the math, the biology, all happening in real time. The book just makes you want to listen more closely to the world. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accatra Foundation.